It's Tuesday, 22 November, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. This is show number 118. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hello, everyone. Got a little change up for you. Are you ready for this?
From Honolulu, around the tech world, and into your ear, this is Geek News Central. And now, here's Todd.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and as always, we want to thank all of our long-term subscribers. Thank you for staying subscribed and being with us and being part of our family, being part of our Ohana here. And you know, it is Turkey Week. We are a few days away. Of course, those of us that live here in the United States are a few days away for celebrating Thanksgiving. So we're all getting ready for the nice four-day holiday weekend. So I know those of you in the other parts of the world, obviously, your holidays for your countries fall on different dates, but this is a pretty big travel holiday for those of us that that live in the United States. Now, here in Hawaii, you know, we can't go too far, really. We just, I can get in my car and drive all day and end up in my driveway, you know. So, but the rest of you will be getting on the road, I imagine, either Wednesday evening or maybe very early Thursday to get to your destinations. And we're not going to have another show out before many of you go on travel. And I just want to say in advance, everyone have a very safe holiday. Drive safe. Take care of yourself as you're getting ready to go out and hit the road and visit family and friends. But it's been a great start of the week here. I am pretty excited about the upcoming week. Of course, it's back to business as usual. I had a pile of work on my desk, and of course, that was needed attention today. So it was like, I arrived at work, and next thing I know, I look up the clock, it was 5 o'clock and time to go home. But hey, we've got lots of great content on the website as usual, so be sure to check out all the great content there. Subscribe to our mailing list. I did get an email from one listener saying, hey, I've got a problem finding how to subscribe to your mailing list. And the for all of you that are not currently subscribed, if you go to geeknewscentral.com and look in the second column under Geek Navigation, right below the Yahoo Podcast banner, you'll see a link that says Podcast Newsletter. There are two sign-up pages or two sign-up boxes in that page that it's linked to. One will be for the newsletter only. It's not interactive. The other one's for a mailing list where actually there's very little interaction on that mailing list anyway. So very low on the email side on those. So feel free to sign up for both if you want to. Now, this previous Friday, of course, I had to disconnect the computer and I had an anniversary, so I couldn't have very well have been playing on the computer, or I probably would not be speaking to you right now because the wife would have. Well, you know what happens. You just don't do that. You have to take some time out, and that I did. But my son also had a birthday this weekend, so we had a little party for him. Yesterday had some family and friends over, so it was kind of like we're almost kicking off the holiday period a little bit early, but needless to say, I am not looking forward to the massive amounts of traffic from shopping or shoppers heading out here this coming Thursday. So it's going to be a madhouse Thursday and Friday, obviously. Hey, did want to point your attention to a couple things on the mailing list. Not on the mailing list, on the website. I've talked about this before. We have a partnership with a company that allows you to sign up for free technical magazines. Actually, they've got all kinds of different topics on their website. But you go ahead and check out those magazines they have available. And these are free, okay? It's not one of those cheesy deals where you have to pay $29.95 6 months later. It's actually a free magazine, and you can sign up for those via that link. It's called on the Free Tech Mags via the main page. All right, on Saturday, we did have the techpodcast.com roundtable. We had Doug Kayon and also Mike McCurry from podtrack.com. great discussion. Andy McCaskey gave a presentation on mobile phone podcasting interfaces. Along, we talked about some sessions and some keynotes. Ran about an hour and 15 minutes. The audio portion and the video portion are available on the techpodcast.com website now. You'll see them linked there. So you can, if you just want to listen to audio, you can pick up the audio portion. But if you want to listen or watch and listen, you can pick up the video. It's about 100 megs on the video download, but we're hosting that over at ourmedia.org. It's a great service over there if you haven't used that before. And pretty impressed with the service over there, with what they've built. It's a very, very nice place to host your video, and it's free. That's what's really cool. A lot of podcasters are actually hosting their audio over there, too. If you don't have time-critical podcasts, it's a great place to drop your content. Okay, let's listen to Rob Greenlee on Web Talk Radio this afternoon, actually, and he had a great podcast on. And those of you who have heard me talk a little bit about the Audible deal, their announcement at the Portal Media and Podcast Expo, he actually had Mitch on. Mitch is one of the designers of that, a consultant to Audible. If you have been following what's been going on the net, Mitch and Dave Weiner had a little bit of a, how should we say, net spat, where they had some blog entries flying back and forth. But he was on along with some other great hosts. And of course, Rob puts on a great show. The other host was David Lawrence, and he does all kinds of great audio on the internet. So if you haven't checked out the David Lawrence show, please do so. I'll see if I can find a link to his show and put him up in the show notes. Okay, but also recorded last night, Tech Podcast This Week gives you an update on what's going on, and it featured this week the Mike Tech Show, the Digital Experience Podcast, Secrets of Digital Imaging, Tech News Radio, Home Network Help, Technorama, Technobabble, Procast, and of course, this show, Geek News Central. About 8 minutes gives you insight into what those shows are producing this week, so it gives you an idea of some of the diversity in content that we have over on that site. Now, I think that's all I have for commentary as far as just quick notes. I do have we're going to hold the comments to the end of the show, and we're not going to go over today. Famous last words, right? But first of all, let's save yourself some money, okay? Private domain registrations from GoDaddy is a smart thing to do. When you register a domain, your content information is immediately made available to anyone who wants to see it. Act now, and you can make your domain private for just $8.95 a year. And you'll get your domain registration for just $1.99. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter code Todd, that's T-O-D-D, when you check out, and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor of the Geek News Central podcast. Along with that event that we had at techpodcast.com, obviously we were using the GoToMeeting software, that application, I've said it to probably a dozen times on the show already, I've really fallen in love with that application, how we can hand it off to different people. But here's a little more info on GoToMeeting. Todd Cochran here from the Geek News Central podcast. By now, you probably heard that the Tech Podcast Network uses GoToMeeting to conduct online business meetings and training. But did you know that GoToMeeting is the easiest way for any organization to conduct online business meetings? I've asked Fox Show's Andrew McNeil what he liked best about GoToMeeting.
I like the way you can record the entire presentation, audio and video, for later viewing.
Sound too good to be true? Try GoToMeeting free for yourself. For 30 full days, you don't need a credit card. Just visit gotomeeting.com/techroundtable or click on the GoToMeeting link on the Geek News Central website. Okay, I received a voicemail comment on our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. It's from my good friends over at Audio Collective. Check out this comment.
Hey, Todd. This is Dave from the Audio Collective, and I just heard your podcast for Friday, and I heard you play a little thing or mention a little thing about a podcast having their first DVD. That's pretty sweet. I don't know if it's the first podcast to have a DVD because, of course, you know, the Audio Collective, we released our DVD about 2 weeks ago. It's full of behind-the-scenes videos, bonus content, all of our podcasts for the first 50 shows, and even some podcasts that were too a little too crazy to release. So that's a little bit of that, and oh, tons of pictures and whatever. But enough of that. Well, so keep up the good work, and you rock. Talk to you later.
Bye. Hey, didn't you, I like that last 5 seconds? You rock. That was a pretty cool comment. Thanks, and hey, why don't you send me one of those DVDs? All right, hey, we got a lot of great content tonight. Let's get right into it. In science news, the Japanese Space Agency, they just are having all kinds of bad luck. You know, they've got a spacecraft out by an asteroid that they've been trying to get close to and actually land on and pick up some samples, but today their landing attempt failed, and I guess they got within like 17 meters of the surface, and the spacecraft moved away. So, you know, I'm sure they're just about, the Japanese are very, very much perfectionists, so I'm sure they're all, like, beating their heads against the wall. But anyway, that's another failure for them. You know, they lost one of their miniature probes here a week or so ago. So I guess we'll have to keep our eyes on this and see what they do. I'm sure they're going to try a second landing. It's would not make any sense not to, because this mission is all dependent upon them collecting a sample and bringing that sample back to Earth. So we'll see if they do it, give it another shot. We'll keep you informed, of course, of what transpires. Over on the Blog Maverick website, Mark has some comments on there that are pretty insightful. Talks about the coming golden age of television. And this is about it's about 2 pages worth of, maybe 3 pages worth of commentary from him. He's always got some great insight into where technology is headed. Now, how many of you have a high-definition TV in your home already? And I'm sure probably about 50% of you have raised your hands and say, hey, I do. Now, I personally don't have an HD TV yet. I'm just holding off. You know, here in Hawaii, I think we get 5 HD TV channels. So why would I really want to buy a HD TV that's, you know, there's only 5 channels, and plus you got to pay extra money for it. You know, we don't watch TV that much where we need to go, you know, into that expense of buying one of those sets. But he makes a good point here that because of the bandwidth required to move that video, that high definition video, there really isn't enough infrastructure right now to expand to, you know, right now I think on my cable, digital cable TV that I have here, I have 150 channels, maybe 5 of them have anything worth watching on, but I think there's 150 video channels, maybe 200 strictly audio, and then just, you know, a mix match of the, you know, stuff that's intermixed in there, pay-per-view, the whole nine yards. But he's predicting, because bandwidth infrastructure is not keeping up with the growth of deployment of HDTV, that we could see within a few years, and then within the next 5 years, that only there will only be like 30 HDTV channels based upon the bandwidth that's required to move that video. So it goes, you know, and he goes into great detail here, kind of on the long tail of this, in that many of you are going to, if you haven't already, you're going to buy an HDTV soon, so you're going to want content for that TV. And, of course, since that picture is so compelling, you're going to want to watch it more than you'll watch the other channels, just because of the higher quality. So he's expecting what will happen is that those 30 channels are basically going to be the gold mine for the networks that are in those space, and they're going to demand the higher advertising rates from, you know, major manufacturers that are going to be advertising within those HD spaces. Whereas the remaining digital channels, which are going to be on, you know, the video is going to basically be what we have today, is going to demand a lower premium. And the cost for those channels to convert, it's just going to be extraordinary, and it's he talks about billions of dollars of expenses for those networks to change over to HD programming, and how that it just won't happen because many won't be able to, and much of the content that has been recorded in the past, and he talks about the different type of of video and audio recording and processing that has went through most of the content that is, 10 years old. Some of it that's even being created today just will not convert. But he's saying because we're all going to be wanting HD content, that those channels that don't convert are basically going to be kind of like the ghetto. They're going to be, regulated to lower ad rates. And there's going to be a lot of companies that just aren't going to survive, or a lot of production companies that aren't going to survive. You know, some companies have obviously figured it out real early and have went hog wild in converting to HD format, ESPN, Discovery Channel. You know, some of those, actually what I consider educational channels have converted to HD. And they're going to be well positioned to dominate. Those others that don't, they won't. And it boils down to what he says is just purely a bandwidth situation. Now, unless the cable providers get real smart, real quick, and increase the bandwidth capacity to our homes, like by like a tenfold, there's going to be no way that they're going to be able to, meet the demand. So what you're going to end up with, it's just not going to be any better than like it was 20 years ago. Well, I remember 20 years ago when I was living at home, I think we had ABC, CBS, NBC. There was no such thing as Fox then. And I think ABC, the channel was really, really weak, and we had a tower outside where I actually had to point the antenna at the station. I remember doing alignment tests and putting marks on the little rotor. Those of you that have never lived in the country haven't had to deal with that. And then we got cable, or we got dish, and now we're all spoiled. No one's using antennas anymore, at least very few people are. So what's going to happen is that the satellite providers are going to have to kick it up a notch, and they're going to have to try to bring in enough satellite capacity to move HD. So they're going to be positioned probably better than others, but there's only so many transponders that you can put on a satellite, and there's only so many parking spots in orbit too. And I don't know if you guys realize this, but when a commercial provider puts up a satellite, there has to be a certain amount of separation. They have to be in a geosynchronous orbit so that the satellite stays in place over the top of the area. So I think it's out like, don't quote me on this, but I think like 60, maybe 26,000 miles or something like that is the distance that it just hangs out there. And that is where, so it can stay in the same position as the Earth rotates. But we'll see. We'll see if they can get enough spacing between satellites to meet the demand. You know, and it's not only going to be video; it's going to be all the other audio content and cable, but cellular phones, etc. That are going to be in these global networks. So it's going to be a very, very interesting time, and he's calling it the golden age of television. And of course, it's going to be television like we've never seen it before. And there's going to be less choices instead of more, which will, I don't know if I agree with him if there's going to be less choices. I'm sure some of those networks will be regulated back to, the ghetto of the television channels because they're not on HD and have to pay a premium to get their content backhauled onto the network. So we'll see. Now, I was talking with my cable provider today, because I was making some changes, trying to reduce my bill a little bit. It got a little out of control. We'd added some things earlier in the year, and we hadn't even used them. So I got my cable bill reduced, I think, like $34, $35 today, which is a lot if you really think about it over, a whole year's time. But I was telling the lady, I said, my download speed here is terrific on my internet, but it's, my upload is horrendous. What is the limits that you guys set on these cables, on these cable boxes now for the broadband portion of it? And she told me, and I was like, well, I'm definitely not getting that. And I said, they've been out twice. I said, this really needs to be fixed. I said, the area I'm in does not support DSL, or I've already switched because I just can't, I have to push shows out. I was explaining to her how the podcast goes out and how it takes me so much longer time to produce, actually get the shows uploaded. And so she's going to send a message out, see if they can do something about it. Maybe I can get some action from the cable company. But, if they can't meet my needs now, what are they going to do in 5 years? We'll see. We'll keep our eyes peeled on this. But a very good article I'll have it linked up, obviously, in the show notes. Of course, if you have comments on this, send it to geeknews@gmail.com. Now, in another announcement today, TiVo has basically said they are going to give customers a new option, including a TiVo AutoSync that will allow subscribers to choose if they want the new recordings of their programs to go to either their iPod or their Sony PSP. That's pretty cool, but there's some discussion going on about that and how it's going to be wrapped in DRM. Well, I don't think we're going to get away from that. But Dan Gilmore makes a comment that he uses with his Mac. He uses a product called iTV. And I know there's a similar product for Windows Box. As a matter of fact, my buddy just bought it. Trying to tip of my tongue. He was telling me about it, and he thinks it's pretty cool. He travels a lot, so he's going to be able to watch cable, his shows wherever he's at in the country, as long as he's on broadband. But I had not heard of iTV before, and I've been looking for a new lease on life for the Mac Mini. I'm going to see if it'll work, and maybe this will make the Mac Mini into the media center that I want it to be. And then I'll have some extra options here for collecting content that I want to watch later. But anyway, that's a big announcement from TiVo, and a lot of news on that. I'll have two or three links up in the show notes on it. Okay, some very disturbing news coming out of Canada, and there's not a lot of facts behind this, so it may be a little bit of rumor, but there is a short thread on the Apple website noting that Rogers/Shaw ISPs in Canada are blocking podcast downloads. And it's because of a policy against multiple downloads. So apparently when iTunes is going out and reaching for my show, reaching for Chuck Chat, reaching for Engadget, reaching for Web Talk Radio, and going to three or four different hosts, somehow the ISP is flagging that as illegal activity and is shutting them down. So for those of you that are in Canada, watch your subscriptions very closely. You may not know it, especially if you're on a Rogers/Shaw ISP. You may be in, you may have some issues there and be able to get in your shows. So complain, and I'll have the link up in the show notes. Now, in a kind of an amazing buy, Cisco has purchased Scientific Atlantic. Now, for those of you that don't know, Scientific Atlantic is a leading developer and a manufacturer of consumer video and data services products. And I guess they paid like $6.9, almost $7 billion for the company. This is part of their strategy to ensure that they are in the video space. And everyone's predicting, of course, that the video space is where, big money is going to be made in the future. And it goes on to talk about some strategic stuff that's going on with video. And, of course, Scientific Atlanta is well-positioned in that product space. So we'll see what happens with this acquisition by Cisco. Now, it's kind of a sub-thing within this same article. There is I'm curious, how many of you that are listening to the show have Verizon's Fiber to the Premise service, FTTP? I'm really curious if any of you have that. I would like to hear some reviews on that service. I'd sure love to get it here. That's for sure. But I know it's being a rollout in a limited market. So if any of you have that fiber to the premise service, drop me a line and let me know what you think and brag about it a little bit and tell me what you can do with it. All right, have you guys heard about Pod Producer? I'm not very familiar with this application. I've heard some people talk favorably upon it recently. So those of you that are podcasters out there, if you have played with Pod Producer, drop me a line. I'm looking for a very simple, a turnkey recording application. And so I'm kind of on the hunt right now. We all know that Audacity records very well, but I want something that would be very, very simple where someone sets it up on their computer, they hit record, they get done, they hit stop, and it encodes them a MP3 file, kind of has some functions, easy functions to set levels, that type of stuff. If you got any guys any recommendations, I haven't had a chance to go around and dig around, see what's new in podcast producing tools in the last couple of months. But if you played with this, let me know, and send me some feedback at geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, I think, of course, those of you that are gamers, like, today's your big day, right? Xbox 360. is been released, and of course there is a waiting line set around the world. I know that there's been some hype here in Honolulu. People are waiting in line to get them. I don't know how many they're going to have, but there is a projected shortage of those gaming consoles. My boy was telling me, "Hey, Dad, you know, for this was before his birthday. He's like, you know, there's this Xbox 360 coming out. Like, you got a PlayStation. Sorry, Charlie. No Xbox 360 for you." But you know, you got to give him credit for trying. Okay, kind of two or three major announcements from Microsoft today. And we've all known that Microsoft is going to be releasing the next version of Office with XML as being its basic format for its encoding of Office documents. Well, there's an interview on Robert Scoble's site talking about this implementation, and I read through this interview, and I tell you, I think Microsoft, those of you that like to bash Microsoft, they've done two things today that looks to me like they kind of get it, okay? They're really trying to work with the community, and they're going to have, they're co-sponsoring the submission with, in conjunction with Apple, Barclays, Capital, BP, the British Library, Isilor, Intel, NextPage, Start Oil, and Toshiba. They're co-sponsoring the submission to ECMA, the International Standards Body, of the Microsoft Office Open XML Documents Format. Now, if you remember, some states and municipalities have really come down hard on Microsoft and the Office Suite because their format is not really open. So the question that Robert asked the person he's interviewing, are these formats really open? And he says yes, and the standardization process will make this even more clear as we work with the committee members. So I think we'll all sit on the edge of our seats and kind of keep an eye on this, but we will see if Microsoft really makes this an open format. Now, I'm sure they're going to want to license this, but you know, Robert brings him to task pretty hard here, asking if there was some hidden agenda. You know, he works for Microsoft, so you have to, you know, he's pretty objective, but these questions definitely were Robert's way of kind of trying to dig out of this guy whether or not Microsoft is really on the right track. But it's a very good interview. I'll let you put the link up to Robert's site. Of course, those of you that aren't subscribed to Robert Scoble's site, I'll be very surprised because I'm sure most of you already are. But that's one of the announcements that was made today. We'll talk about the other one here in a few minutes. It's talking about some very cool RSS announcement out of their space. Wired has a great article today, and it's titled "Munster Scope to Dwarf Rivals." For those of you that are astronomy buffs, they're preparing to build the world's largest telescope that could be 100 times more powerful than Hubble and will peer back to the very beginning of the universe. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Thing's going to be made up of like 800 individual mirrors. It's going to be housed in an observatory the size of a football stadium, resembling an eye. This thing is going to be huge. They're not putting what the cost of this thing is, at least not in the section of the article that I'm looking at. But this thing's going to be awesome. Can you guys? I can't wait to see the product, the thing that this is going to produce. It's going to be cool. Are you all about sick of news about Sony? I know I'm about sick of Sony myself. But there's an article that was released today, and they're getting taken to court all over the place. Electronic Frontier Foundation has filed a class action lawsuit against Sony BMG, and they've got some pretty strong words for them. And they basically want to go after them for enough money to basically pay those of us that have had to deal with this rootkit being on a computer. Now, some of you that read the blog probably caught that my wife's computer had the rootkit installed. She's a big music buff and has a lot of CDs, and she had apparently gotten one of these CDs that had that rootkit. So thank goodness for Ghost, because I didn't even deal with it. I ghosted the machine, reinstalled many of her applications that I had not had on there since the last ghosting. Got it set up, about 5 hours worth of work. So I actually printed an invoice and I mailed it to Sony certified mail. Actually, registered, not certified. And so we'll see if they pay the bill. I billed them for $100 an hour for computer repair. But hey, that's what I spent on it, dealing with their getting their malware off my wife's computer. Now, the state of Texas has went after them, too. So, and that's not all. More states are going to go after Sony. And, you know, they're apologizing and they're offering all kinds of free MP3s for people that were inconvenienced. You know, how about some money for all of these tech support calls that are going to have to be made by an estimated 580,000 people? Is that ridiculous? Okay, we'll move on. I'm sure some of you have worked with collaborative tools before. How many of you worked with the applications like Groove or online collaborative tools like Writely? Some of these great tools where multiple people can use the application to work on projects together. How many of you have you and your wife maybe share a appointment calendar where you're trying to make sure everything's married up together so that you're not conflicting, you pick the kids up when she can't and the whole nine yards? How many of you have trouble doing that without, you know, picking up the phone and saying, what's your schedule for Tuesday at 3 or whatever it may be? You know, I've had that problem, and we've kind of mitigated that by using an application, by using Groove. Groove was purchased by Microsoft last year. Along with it, their president went to Microsoft and become a VP over there. Today, they made an announcement, and over on Ray Ozzie's weblog is a great write-up, and it discusses the idea behind some new namespaces for RSS. They're calling it SSE, and this new initiative just blows me away. This is awesome. And it's like I was almost literally clapping today when I read these articles. It started off yesterday with a little hint from Dave Weiner that there was going to be a major announcement. It's going to have something to do with Groove, RSS, and Microsoft. And Groove wasn't really in the conversation, but I think we're going to see some, you know, announcements here directly that's going to be directly related to Groove. But this SSE is called Simple Sharing Extension. So if you can think about sharing information amongst people, what a better way to use RSS and OPML. That way, you know, it's going to be a management type deal where these new extensions are going to be smart enough to merge, to join, to share. It's going to be awesome. It's really, really going to be an awesome spec. So I look forward to seeing what they're going to do here. Now, here's the cool thing, too. And this is, again, Microsoft is kind of figuring it out. They are releasing this under a Creative Commons license, attribution share alike. In other words, it's open source. It's going to be an open specification that anyone can write to. Mark my words, there will be companies that will get funded for millions and millions of dollars because of SSE. This is going to open up a whole new, because all these applications that were not able to talk to each other before are now going to be able to talk to each other. I'm totally jazzed about this announcement. And those of you that are understand the RSS space and understand OPML, I think you will be pretty jazzed too when you take a look at this. Now, they have a fact that they put together. I think it's important for you to go read it. They've got a forum for implementers. Obviously, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of an invitation to get there. But newsonscripting.com and, of course, on Ray Ozzie's site, I'll put a link up to both in the show notes. Okay, how many of you are aware? This is just a trivia thing. You know, Google is doing all these scanning of books, right? And I got to thinking, how are they scanning these books? You know, they got some poor schmuck on minimum wage. It's standing at a scanner, flipping a page, putting the book down, scanning it. That make no sense, right? Did you know they make a machine that will automatically flip the pages and scan the page? All they got to do is set the book in the machine and it goes to town. I did not know that. There's a company called Curtis Technologies, and they've got a video demo of how this thing works. It's called the Book Scan 1200. Awesome. Totally, totally awesome. I don't know what the price on these things are, but what a way to scan a book. and check out the video. I think you guys will get a good kick out of it. But a little trivia to figure out how these how Microsoft and both Google are scanning these thousands and thousands of books. In the cool site of the day find, I found a, we all know what Dig is, we all know what Slashdot is, we all know what Delicious is. How about dig.us? That's a mouthful. I found a site. Here's the URL, diggdot.us. And what this site does is it has a combination, oh gosh, what did I just do here? Has a combination of Dig, Slashdot, and Delicious. It brings all those articles together on one page. And here's a little secret. The RSS feed for it is diggdot.us/RSS. Very, very, very cool. Nice aggregation of that information. A one-stop shop for Slashdot, Delicious, and Dig top-rated articles. So I think you guys will get a kick out of this site. I know that I have today. I've had a lot of fun with it. All right. How many of you have shopped at Walmart, Best Buy, Target, or on the Apple iTunes store and purchased music from any one of those four organizations? How many of you realize that Apple, Walmart, Best Buy, and Target all sell their music as a loss leader? Did you realize that? We all know that Apple is basically using the iTunes platform as a jumping point to sell more iPods. And that's where they really make their money. If they do make money on any music, it's just pennies on each sale. Now, a lot of the recording industry doesn't want, you know, the people to know about that, you know, because, you know, you're paying $19.95 for a CD set at Walmart, and they're still losing money on it, okay? So that tells you how much is going back to the recording industry, and how much of it actually gets to the artist is another story. It's pennies on the dollar. But what's kind of interesting is that Apple has now become the seventh largest music retailer. Now, if they've built a business where they are the seventh largest music retailer and they're selling this music as a loss leader, that has to say something for the industry, right? It has to tell you that the business model is not good for, you know, companies like Tower Records and the Border Group, who have these big metroplexes of stores with thousands of CDs, and you have to pay for AC, and they have to pay for the lights, and they have to pay for the overhead of people carrying stuff in. You ever wondered why a CD set was more in Tower Records more than it was in Walmart? Well, Tower Records can't sell it as a loss leader, so that gives you an idea in the price differential. But it's very curious to see what is happening in this music space. But as podcast listeners, I hope that you're all checking out more of the PodSafe music, getting over to the podcast music network and checking out what they have over there, some of the great tracks that are being put up by artists. And let's start building our own empire here for independence. And I'm going to be, as time permits, we'll be playing more independent music at the end of the show also. Okay, those of you that are using Technorati on a regular basis, you have known that there's been some improvements in their performance. And they've done a lot of work on their server infrastructure. David Sifri has a response to basically the performance enhancements that they've made to the network for those of you that are interested in that kind of stuff. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. All right, those of you that are PSP users, you probably already know this already, but the PSP has unlocked once again. A new program for the Sony PSP reinstates the ability to play homebrew games and run homebrew apps on your PSP. Obviously, it voids your warranty, and I'm not telling you to go out there and do anything that is illegal, but if you want to play some new games and load some different apps on it. The firmware hackers have been undoing Sony's hard work at trying to lock it down, but this is kind of good news for those of you that have Sony PSCs, don't you think? And with that, let's get into some listener email. But before some of you punch out, as always, please send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com and call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Hey, and when you call, you know, pimp your website. You know, if you've got a website that you're publishing, do it in that voicemail. It's a good way to get some some extra coverage. Along with that, if you're a podcaster and you want to send me a promo, send it to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Again, the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, or you can Skype me. And I got an email from Peter, who's sending me a little comment. He says, hey, you know, for a few shows back, you were talking about how the TiVo's next version will be able to set its recordings from the internet. And he kind of says, well, I've been able to do that for years with my Replay 4080. And, you know, Peter, thanks for that info. And I had seen those Replay 4080s, but some of you out there, someone had sent me an email saying that those units, I'm not going to say anything bad about them. Obviously, you're happy with your unit. But if anyone's had a negative experience with Replay, which I think I've gotten some emails back before that they have. Of course, I've gotten some negative comments on TiVo too. Let me know. But it is pretty cool that the Replay will allow you to preset the recording via the internet up to 24 hours in advance. And he's also using some free additional software like DV Archive. You can set that up on a web server on my PC, which can control the machine as if he was using a remote for the machine. So that's pretty cool. He has two of them, and he can do up to 80 hours of recording. He says with TiVo, you have to be careful with them. Although they make the process easy, they also give you TV show features and ads you don't want. They also track your every move. Of course, Big Brother's watching. Yeah, we know that with DRM. And we know that when the Super Bowl had the Janet Jackson issue, TiVo was able to report how many people replayed that. That is kind of disturbing a little bit. You know, we've talked about Big Brother and companies watching us, but I'm sure that you opted in when you signed up for your TiVo service, for those of you that have it. So, a Geek News Central listener was saved a fate worse than death by listening to the show, in that he had ordered the Springsteen Born to Run 30th Anniversary box set from Amazon. And he did it totally without thinking about its source. And of course, yep, when he got it, he went pale when he saw it was a Sony/BMG product. He says, oh, what on earth to do? Well, Steve, I think you need to be careful with that CD, that CD set. Don't stick it in your computer. We need to find out which CDs are affected. And I have not seen a list yet of all the CDs that are have this technology, this rootkit technology on it. So if any of you out there have found a website that has the complete list of CDs that are affected by this travesty, we need to help Steve out so that he can listen to his box set from Amazon and re-experience the 75 Hammersmith concert DVD, because he was there. So he wants to listen to that again. But he doesn't want to put it anywhere near a system. But hey, you're okay to stick it in your CD player for your console. It's not going to infect anything that is in your hi-fi equipment. But don't stick it in your computer until we get you a list, obviously. Every week I get a few dozen emails from people that have picked up a podcasting and do-it-yourself guide. And they've sent comments back basically saying, thanks for writing the book. And no, thank you for buying the book. And it was my pleasure. And if you have any questions whatsoever, please send me an email. I try to get to them. Sometimes I'm a little slow on answering, but I do try to get through all. Another listener who was the very first person to put a link on Frapper from Gibraltar in the south of Spain. He wants to say hello from the Rock of Gibraltar, and he says to carry on the good work. Thanks, John, for listening. Your comments are really, really appreciated. All right, what else have I got? I've got Erwin sent me an email that says, hey, Todd, take a look at this. And he gives me a link to a URL that says sony.glowpoint.com. I think this is a product that Sony is coming out with to make video available on Skype. And I have not checked that out yet, Erwin. Is that a sub-company of Sony? I don't know. We'll have to take a look. But thanks for sending me that link. We'll put that in the show notes for sure. You know, even though I'm boycotting them, you guys can still check out the cool stuff. Okay, got an email from Rick. He says, great show as always. I'm in the middle of the 18 November show, and since everybody work has a day off, I have you playing Loud and Proud on all four speakers instead of my iPod earbuds. That's cool. Kind of scary to think that you're turning me up loud and proud in some building, but thanks for the vote of confidence. But He says he wanted to tell me about sending snail mail to Congress. He says it's not a good idea. Most Congressmen are actually scared of regular old-fashioned analog written on paper and mailed with a stamp type of communications. I do realize that, Rick. I do realize that any mail that you send to Washington, D.C., to your representative, goes in this, like, a black hole. It goes, gets radiated, and they do all kinds of things. It takes months to get to them. But my understanding is if you send it to their district office, it doesn't go through the same process. Maybe someone that listens to the show that's in government, maybe they can tell us if that's true or not. He says, just use a fax or email. It's the best way to go. But I always think a written letter is the best. Now, if those mailings are going to district offices are getting rerouted to that black hole, then that's something to be concerned about. But I had been told it was not the case. Agent Smith, who won the Traveler, hey, congratulations. Thanks for the mailing address. I think I've got all those together now. We'll be sending those to the publisher, and hopefully we'll get it to you, or they will get it to you shortly. Also, I got an email from Jeff. Thanks for the comments. And, of course, I already responded to Charles in Canada, who wanted to know how to get the show notes via email. Steve sent me a link to a cool application that is for the Pocket PC, I believe also for the Trio. And what this is, it's actually recording software. It's Audacity for Pocket PC. So check that out. Put that link up in the, it's actually for the Trio 650. So I'll put that link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out if it's compatible with your Pocket PC. I did get Jonathan, I'll be getting you some email on the internship opportunities that we're going to have over at the Podcaster News Network. And if you haven't been over there, folks, make sure you get over to podcasternews.com. You're going to start seeing new content producers starting to be added to the network within the next day or so. We're filing and getting those people ready to roll into the system. Okay, Barbara sent me an email saying that she's having problems with when she gets the newsletter. She clicks on the link for the MP3 file, and it looks like it loads, and then it just something happens and it terminates. What I would recommend, Barbara, if you're having problems, first of all, go ahead and visit geeknewscentral.com, click on the podcast link, you'll find the newest podcast there, and try to load it via the website. If it's loading that way, then let me know. Send me another email back saying, yeah, I loaded via the main page, but it's not loading via the email. Is anyone else having trouble loading the MP3 directly and playing it on your computer directly via the newsletter that goes out right after the show? Anyone else is having that trouble, send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, 47 minutes and 35 seconds. Time for me to bug out. But everyone, please enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday. I'm sure many of you won't be able to catch a show until you get back. If you're on the road, we'll have a show up for you Friday morning, guaranteed. But I want to thank you for staying subscribed and being part of our Ohana here. Enjoy your holiday. Those of you that are in the United States, of course, be safe, drive safe, and eat in moderation, all right? And have fun out there. Talk to y'all later. Aloha.